Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And we definitely need more steadfastness in the church today. Paul knew it then, and he told the Christians there, and he told us, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is a verse that I hid in my heart as a young Christian, and it sustained me through some difficult times. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Not stand fast in your flesh and in your little strength, which you really don't have any, but in the Lord. So many people who used to name the name of Christ, that they're not steadfast anymore, and they're not standing fast in the Lord as they used to. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, according to the lady on YouTube, but I like Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege and the power and the peace of prayer. And Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your holy word that tells us about our need for prayer. For we are weak and feeble. That is obvious. And Lord, thank you for showing to me why you emphasized prayer so much throughout your holy word to tell others that you have told us to pray without ceasing, because we need to pray without ceasing. We will not make it in this world successfully if we do not stay in constant contact with you through prayer. For not only do you hear our prayers, but you answer our prayers, and you actually tell us what to do if we are sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank you for that gift and that blessing. You warn us of other things and other people. You show us things before they happen through prayer. You give us fresh and new ideas that will not show up at all until we pray. How many times, Lord, we have paused in the midst of our prayers, thanking you for that great idea, thanking you for that solution, something that before we started praying we never thought of, thanking you for resolving an issue, thanking you for changing our mentality about something, our view of something, our attitude towards something or somebody, simply through the power and the practice of prayer and having faith in you and praying in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, Lord, we pray that you demonstrate and speak to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit through your holy word, and encourage us to pray about everything and not to worry. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a rather long series of messages, as many of you know, titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The simple purpose of this series is to encourage you, to challenge you, to exhort you, to help you, to guide you, and yes, even to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he's still there. And too many people are not praying to him, and we see the results of that all around us, even in the church, and especially in the church. People, God's people, who claim to be God's people, are simply not praying. And so the gospel goes slow. Revival does not come. Souls are not saved. Lives are not changed. And many who claim to be Christians are falling by the wayside in these perilous times. And so, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 315 messages in this series straight every Wednesday night for, over 5 years. This is message number 316, titled, Don't Worry, Pray, and Be Happy, Part 3. The actor gets up. It starts with a W. What is his name? He gets up at 2:30 in the morning. Mark Wahlberg. Is that it? Mark Wahlberg. You would not think it, based upon the roles that he has played in movies. Gets up at 2:30 in the morning, every day. First thing he does is he prays for a half an hour. And then he starts his day that early. Now, if you can find me a Christian anywhere who gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning, as Martin Luther used to do, to start his day in prayer, I'll eat this mic. For some, don't get up at 10 o'clock in the morning and pray. No wonder he is so successful, not only because of the prayers, but because of his tight regimen that he keeps every day. He's very disciplined. And at almost 50 years old, he's in tip-top shape. Now, that ought to put a whole lot of Christians to shame. If Mark Wahlberg, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, as crazy as he is, gets up at 2:30 in the morning and prays till 3 o'clock, then certainly we as Christians ought to be praying for an hour. Anyway, from this passage, we have been learning, ladies and gentlemen, through Paul's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Always remember that. An example how we can not just be happy, but truly joyful and rejoicing, despite the circumstances that would normally cause worry, anxiety, and fear. And sad to say, many Christians are filled with anxiety and worry, especially many who got tricked into the prosperity gospel foolishness. They worry big time to keep up appearances. The key to this way of life is prayer. That is the key to a peaceful life, a life of peace, a life of joy, is through prayer. Not only will prayer give you peace, but while you're praying, God will tell you certain things to do that will give you peace and keep you at peace, and certain things not to do that will disturb your peace. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, say amen. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Don't be filled with anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer. When a thought of worry comes to your mind, stop and pray. We just got through singing that song that my baby daughter really loves, because she likes the part about when a mother gets up angry, did you think to pray? She loves that song. And did you think to pray when you were getting angry? Did you think to pray when you were filled with worry and anxiety and fear? Did you think to pray when you were frustrated at trying to do something and get something done? And then when you finally prayed, you find out from God Himself that He didn't want you to do that in the first place. You were spinning your wheels. You're wasting time. See, prayer can keep you from a whole lot of stress and pressure. And by the way, stress will kill you. Many people are dying today because of stress, anxiety, worry. Somebody said that there's some good stress, and they're right. One of the reasons why I am for football is because it brings a man to a stress point where he's got to perform. He's got to get it done. I'm not one of these men who we feel like just because some folks get injured and so forth that we ought not to have football anymore. Another reason why we need football is because a man needs to be hit every now and then. Nothing shakes off the cobwebs. Nothing gets the adrenaline going after a good solid hit. And all of us go to the football games and watch football because, not because of what people call violence, but the reality of life will hit you hard. And you have to make up your mind whether or not you're going to get back up and keep on running that ball, run that ball, run that ball. When anxiety presses on your soul, stop and pray. Stop worrying and stop and pray. Your worrying will never get anything done. God's motto is pray without ceasing, if you will. God's word is pray without ceasing. Our motto is worry without ceasing. Fret without ceasing. And we think we're gritting our teeth and we're doing something by fretting and worrying. No, you're not. You're spinning your wheels. You're not going anywhere fast, very fast. Worried about stuff that you have no control over. And by the way, if it's not God's will, there's no need for you to worry about it because it's not going to be done. So you might as well just sit down and wait. Oh, that's a curse word to many people, wait. Oh, man. Oh, that's the last thing somebody wants to hear in the church today is wait. Oh, no. But I assure you, my beloved, you will have to wait on God on many things in your life. Then Paul digs a little bit deeper and tells us a specific way to pray. When we are facing the temptation to worry, in everything, Paul said, in everything, in your marriage, in everything, with your children, in everything, with your enemies on the job, in everything. And by the way, some of the nicest, sweetest people in the world have enemies. And probably the more you pray, you'll have more enemies. The devil will make sure to it. When the debts are high and the money is low, enemies. Pray, whatever the case. Troubles on the left and troubles on the right. In everything, pray. When things seem impossible, you just don't know how it's going to work out. See, that's precisely the time to pray. And zip, bam, boom, you'll be amazed at what God will do. Amazed. In everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Dr. Warren Wiersbe recalls these three, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, the right kind of praying. Amen, somebody. He writes, right praying involves all three. I assure you that a person who does not thank God in a public prayer does not pray at all at home. He does not know what prayer is about. Because some of the first words you ought to utter is, "Thank you, Lord." Why do you curse the day your car breaks down and forget about the 3,000 days your car got you to where it was supposed to get you to without a problem? We're not saying say thank you to the car, but you need to say thank you to God for all of those days the car did not break down, and you certainly need to thank God for when the car breaks down. It breaks down in the garage, like it has done for me almost every time, not on the highway. Thank God. Give Him the praise for all of the millions and manifold blessings He's already bestowed upon you. Your car's carburetor might not be working, but is your liver working? Can somebody say amen? Can you be thankful for that? Because a liver is far more important than a carburetor. Is your ticker working? Are you feeling some crazy things? Some swarms and little half beats and weird beats in your heart. Someone said last night they had congestive heart failure. And one preacher said, that's very serious. That'll take you on out of here. I don't think the person said that for the man to say that, but that's what he said. He said that's serious. That's serious right there. The person was calling for a prayer request, and he said, well, ha-ha. Oh, wow, that's serious. That'll take you on out of here. That'll get you on out of here real quick. I don't think the person called for that. They called for prayer. That was their prayer request, that God would heal them of congestive heart failure. But is your heart working well? Thank God for that. Can you still see? Thank God for sight. Can you still walk? For there are thousands of folk who can't walk anymore. They can't even get up. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart and soon we're going to have just as many scooters as we have carts to push. And don't let people fool you. Some of us, we get the cart as fast as we can, even if we're going to pick up just some lettuce. You know why? Because we use that rolling cart as to hold us up. Don't let people fool you. They roll in that cart. They're only getting three things, but they lean on that cart as fast as possible. Thank God for the legs you got. Thank God you can still get around. Thank God you can still go to the bathroom by yourself. Thank God you can still bathe yourself. Nothing, I cannot imagine something more humiliating than to have somebody, especially a family member, to have to bathe you and turn you over in the bed. Now, I know about this because I did this kind of work when I was in the Air Force. I was baptized before I was baptized. I saw some things that older folks went through in the hospital that I never thought possible. For example, I never heard of an ileostomy bag. Some of you people have never heard of one either. But it's one of the most disgusting things you'll ever want to see. And since you don't know what it is, I'm not going to tell you. You need to thank God for your health while you have your health. And then when something goes awry, thank God for the thousands of days God gave you good health. Why is it that as soon as something goes bad, all our focus, all our worry and fretting is on that one little thing, when God has given us thousands of days when everything went well? We had good health. Our children had good health. We had enough money to buy things. And then one day things go awry just a little bit, and here we are, worried and fretting, like God cannot hear prayer, like God has never done anything for us. Be thankful. Because the truth of the matter is, if God never blessed you with another thing, which we don't deserve in the first place, we have enough to be thankful for throughout eternity. The word prayer is the general word for making requests known to the Lord. Now, God already knows your requests. God already knows what you need, but He wants you to pray. One of the ways that I've always raised my children, particularly the older they got, I said, you got to take care of yourself now, while they're still under my roof, okay? If you have to do something, you need something, you need to write it down and you need to ask for it. Now, I already know what you need. I'm the kind of person who wants to just go ahead and take care of it and get it done for you, as I have always done. But now you're older and you need to take care of yourself. And so if you don't ask for certain things, if you don't make a list for certain things, you will not get them. Because now you need to take care of yourself. And God knows what we need. He said as much, but He wants us to ask Him. I cannot explain all of that. God knoweth. It carries the idea of adoration, devotion, and worship. Whenever we find ourselves worrying, our first action ought to be to get along with God and thank Him, praise Him, worship Him, not only for what He's already done, but for who He is. And by the way, I don't believe God needs a whole lot of "Lord, you're great," "Lord, you're wonderful," "Lord, you're super." God already knows that. Okay, if the Spirit leads you, you go right ahead and do your thing. But just be thankful to the Lord and give Him praise. Adoration is important. We must see the greatness and majesty of God. We need to recognize that. We don't have to always just tell Him how great He is. We need to recognize it and be grateful to Him and thankful to Him. We must realize that He is big enough, if you will, to solve our problems. And a lot of that realization is based upon all of the problems He's already solved for us in the past. I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. All of us need to practice the ministry of remembrance. God is big on you remembering what He's already done. That'll give you a basket full of peace right there. Just looking back, reminiscing and remembering what God has done for you. For some people, they find this hard to do for some reason. I don't know. They're just concerned about right now, what have you done for me lately? But some of us in the house of God, we find it easy to go back 20 years, 30 years, when there was nothing but faith in God. And we didn't know how God was going to do it. But now, as we look back, as the old saints used to sing, we look back and we wonder and we're thankful for how we got over. Too often we rush into His presence and hastily tell Him our problems, our needs, when we ought to approach His throne calmly and peacefully. and in deepest reverence, realizing and remembering that God has already been there for us so many times before. I don't know, but I believe that God gets offended when we get into this mode of what have you done for me lately? When we somehow foolishly forget the thousands upon thousands of meals, the thousands of days we were able to move and in health and strength, the thousands of days when we had peace and joy and things were going well and money was not a problem. And then we run into some trouble, and some people have a hard time remembering that the God we're praying to right now, the God we're looking to while we are fretting and worrying right now about a situation, is the same God who delivered us thousands, I said thousands, of times before. And God, that same God, can deliver us now. The first step in right praying is adoration. How often do we focus on our problems instead of focusing on God? How many Christians tonight are trying to twist God's arm and, as some may say, good luck with that, for that's not going to work well for you. We try to twist God's arm to do our will instead of us allowing God to twist us and break us and do His will. And by the way, if you're a true child of God, it's going to go the other way. So you might as well humble yourself down. Stop trying to make things happen your way and do it God's way. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, say amen. Stop fighting against God. Your arms are too short to box against God. Far too frequently we look everywhere and to everybody else before we look to God for the solutions to our problems. And some of us worry so much and fret so much. God has put us in a place where we really don't have a problem. We create a problem. Don't you know there are some people who are cursed with this thing called self-sabotage? Very gifted people, very talented people. They build something up, and somehow the devil gets into their craw, into their mind, and they tear everything down just to build it back up again. It's a demonic thing. We have others who, they're not satisfied with peace and joy and God putting them into a wide place. They still want chaos. They create a problem. May God deliver you and me from such people. Enjoy the peace that God gives you. Enjoy the joy and the happiness, if you will, that God gives you. For those of you who have served God for a while, and God has blessed you, you never thought God would do with you what He did, and now you are getting on up there in age, and God has you in a beautiful place, and He put you there, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of contentment, a place where you can look back and see what God has done with you, and He's still using you right now. Don't mess it up with worrying and fretting over your children or your grandchildren if you've done your best for them. Now, we have some parents and some grandparents who have not done their best in raising their children, but yet they still want the perks. They want the peace and the joy and the contentment and all of the trappings that come with it. And it doesn't work that way. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself trying to get it. When we choose to pray in the face of difficulty, when we bend our minds and hearts to prayer, we are putting God first. And not only are we putting God first, but we're showing great faith in God. We are saying, God, I am choosing to look to you, knowing that you care about me in the midst of my problems. However, it is not natural for us to do that, is it? It is far easier for us to focus on the things that are causing us to worry. Yet when we focus on these things, all we do is dig a deeper hole for ourselves. A WebMD article states, worrying can affect your daily life so much that it can interfere with your appetite, lifestyle, sex drive, habits, relationships, sleep, and job performance. Some people can't even do what they're gifted to do because they're worried all the time. Do you know some folks have gone to their grave at 65 and 70 years old and 75, having worried all of their life, fretted all of their life away? They never accomplished anything worthwhile because they were always worried and fretting. That's a trap the devil gets people into, and only God can get you out of it. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits, such as what they call in the world alcoholism, the Bible calls drunkenness, cigarette smoking, eating too much, drugs, and many other things that are happening today. Instead of continuing to worry and putting yourself at risk of these negative consequences, put God first. Have faith in God. And let me tell you something about that, because we have a whole lot of folk in the church today who are touchy-feely. They don't touch anything, they don't touch something and feel something, they don't believe it's real. But that's the opposite of faith. True faith is when you don't see anything, you don't feel anything, you don't even feel like praying, you don't want to be bothered with a prayer meeting, but you do it by faith. You pray to God by faith, and you cannot see God, you don't feel God, but you pray by faith in God. Some may say that sounds very dry. Whatever it is, have faith in God. And I've seen God move thousands of times when I didn't feel anything. I just had faith in God. And there are millions of other Christians who have experienced the same thing. You don't have to feel anything. Things don't have to be moving and shaking for God to hear and answer your prayers. He honors your faith in Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. So put God first. Instead of continuing to worry and putting yourself at risk of these negative consequences, put God first. Pray to Him have faith in God. Jesus Christ told you to do that. And put worry and fretting and anxiety behind you. I've said this before and I'll say it again. This rash of pastors blowing their brains out, committing suicide, is just the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see more and more, if the Lord tarries his coming, committing suicide because they cannot handle the pressure of worrying and fretting and anxiety and the troubles connected to the Christian life. And the devil gets their minds and pushes them over the edge, and they commit suicide. You're going to see more and more, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, because most people today are phonies. Most people today are hypocrites and fakes. And you would not find that out on their Instagram page or their Facebook page. You would think they're the happiest people alive, and they're not. And what some so-called Christians need to do is stop committing the sin of taking pictures. It's vanity. At this point, it's nauseating. At this point, the people you think care about your cute little baby, they don't. They're sick and tired of you sending them a picture of what you think is your cute little baby. Okay? Stop trying to act like you're happy. Stop worrying. Pray and truly be happy. Annie Cummings wrote, "Father, in the morning unto thee I'll pray. Let thy loving kindness keep me through this day. At the busy noontide, pressed with work and care, then I'll wait with Jesus till he hear my prayer. When the evening shadows chase away the light, Father, then I'll pray thee bless thy child tonight. Thus, in life's glad morning, in its bright noonday, in its shadowy evening, ever will I pray." Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the privilege, the power, and the peace of prayer, the peace that you give through your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through prayer throughout our Christian life. And Holy Father God, help those out there, even who claim to be a part of the household of faith, Lord, to cease worrying and to pray without ceasing, to cease fretting and to pray without ceasing, to cease being filled with anxiety and to become thankful and to pray without ceasing. Grant us all your grace, who are saved, and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing, and we know that you'll keep us in perfect peace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. If you are with us this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, and just as I am. and that you have broken God's laws just as I have. We all have sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a painful place. Hell is an agonizing place. Hell is a place of a painful memory, and hell is forever. In other words, hell is bad news. You don't want to go to hell, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus Christ paid for your sins because he is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. God put all of our sins on him and crucified the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. When his blood was shed, it was shed for our sins and cleansed our sins away. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. All of our pride, all of our stubbornness, all of our lying, all of our dishonesty, all of our lust, all of our adultery, all of our fornication, all of our witchcraft and rebelliousness and foolishness was laid on Christ, the Lamb of God who took the sins of the world. Meaning you and I can go free. And all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world forever. And pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will save you today, as he did me, December the 19th, 1979. I got saved in spite of church and the religion, and got saved out of the club. So I got saved out of the church and the club. I didn't get saved because of the church. I got saved in spite of the church I was raised in. And I was in the club because I wanted to be there, and I was lost and on my way to hell. And if God can save me, a person with a religious background and headed towards hell, partying as hard as I could, then God can save you. Romans 10:9 and 13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. And saved to heaven. So dear friend, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the humble Lamb of God who took away our sins, pray and ask him to save your soul today. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Please repeat after me, phrase by phrase, right where you are. You don't have to get saved in a church. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to give any money to a church. Just trust Christ as Savior. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, dishonesty, lust after people and things, stealing from others, taking your holy name in vain, dishonoring my parents, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. Have mercy upon my soul and save my soul today. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Please save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you pray that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you, based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9 in the Bible, the Holy Bible, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.